raising the speed limit on the information superhighway. TalkZone.com.
Now, back to Barely Legal.
And welcome back to the Barely Legal Show right here on WIN AM 560. This segment is brought to you by the law offices of David Spada. Go to David's website, injuryinillinois.com, or call him directly at 847-729-COMP, C-O-M-P. Again, it's 847-729-2667. So let's get to our first guest of the morning, and no other than a Hall of Famer linebacker, played for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I had the honor to play against this guy my rookie year, 1977. Let's bring on Willie Lanier. How you doing, Willie?
I'm doing fine. How are you, man, today?
Fantastic. I want to thank you for coming on here. I know it's the eve of Thanksgiving and so forth, and thanks for taking some time with us. And of course, David Spada and Elliot Harris in studio. I know they've got some questions they want to fire at you, but, you know, going back in that, remember we spoke about a month and a half ago, we were talking about that game, my rookie year in 77, and
yes.
And I remember you coming up to me after the game. We won a close one with a Greg Letta pass in the end zone. We won 28-27, and I'll never forget that, Willie. You came up to me and you said, "Nice game, Rook," because I had to block you most of the day as a fullback. So
you actually blocked someone in that year.
Yeah, I actually did. How about that?
And by being blocked by you, he thought he had to reconsider his football career.
Well, all I know is that number 63 was an all pro linebacker, and to get a compliment from you that meant a lot to me. Well, it kind of helped gave me a little ego boost there a little bit.
But I think that was all part of the way I think the game was played then, the way it should be played now. You're respectful of everyone who participates, regardless of your level of skill. You're trying to enhance their view and comfort of how they can play the game even better. I know even with some of the other guys, Floyd Little and some of the guys we played against the Raiders, we would go over to the locker room after we finished competing and saying, "Great game. Hopefully no one was injured. Have a good flight home. Look forward to the next game." So that's the way it really should be, because everybody's participating, trying to enjoy their part of the journey, and you're just trying to acknowledge others who are in the starting point of their careers. And I just think that that's hopefully the way guys should do it now. And if they don't, they should understand that's what it's all about.
Willie, what do you think about players helping other players up during the game? I know there's a lot of ex-players that say, when you're playing, you don't help the other teammates. After the game, you congratulate them. But during the game, it's us against them.
No, that wasn't my view. My view was, I will strike you as hard as you need to be struck. I'll put it like that. And I'm going to help you up. If it's a good play, tell you it's a good play. You come back through again, I do the same thing. Because I had no animosity toward anyone I played against during the game, after the game, because it's a game. I enjoyed the encounter of excellence and great skill being exhibited. It would be like this. I'll speak about O.J. Simpson. And as good as O.J. was, I enjoyed watching him run from ground level until I got there trying to make the tackle. And if you didn't make the tackle, you still appreciate the guy's skill. If there's someone who has a great catch or a great block, you would say, "Hey, great block," because that's what the game's about, in my view.
You know, a perfect example of that, of course, the late, great Walter Payton. I mean, I think he probably helped up more people who tackled him than any other running back in the league, but that's just the special kind of guy he was.
Well, just an attitude about the way the game, I think, should be played, and that is the level that you would probably maybe have, and I'll say it like this, maybe more of the guys in the Hall of Fame would think that way, because there's something different about you and the way you play the game. And I would hope that more would understand that is, I think, the essence of a competitive sport. But you have to draw the line, because this is not war. I'm not trying to harm you. It's a game for 3.5 hours, and that's all it is.
Now, in Chicago, we like to think we have some pretty good linebackers with Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs and everybody else. Back in the day with the Chiefs, you, Jim Lynch, Bobby Bell, a pretty formidable trio. How do you think you guys stack up against the people who have come after you?
Well, I think we felt we stacked up obviously extremely well, both Bobby and I in the Hall of Fame. Jim went to a couple of Pro Bowls, and all three of us in the College Football Hall of Fame. And we just enjoyed playing well together. Jim and I played together 11. Bobby played 8 with us. And it was just the full skill set of being able to play multiple defenses, because none of us came out on third downs. And I just start with that. And with the fact that even from an interception standpoint, I had 27, Bobby had 26, and Jim had 21. So if you think about the number of interceptions that we had, the number of times you were able to turn the ball over, you back that in with the number of fumbles recovered, you were shifting the way the game was played and the outcomes of the game because of the number of possessions that you obviously enhanced your offense having. So, and then you still obviously made the kind of tackles that were tough and aggressive and dominant in terms of the game itself.
What do you think about what's going on down in Tennessee with the whole Jeff Fisher, Vince Young controversy, where basically Young threw his uniform at Fisher, and Fisher said, you're never going to play again. Now the owner's stepping in saying, they got to work out their differences. I want both of them next year.
I'm the owner, and I've owned businesses that, in being the owner of a business, and I have capable people working for me, both of them have to understand they work for me. And I'm trying to have the best opportunity for an outcome that I think is of benefit and value. Just because you are my coach and you are the player, don't think that I've ceded all of the responsibility to you. I'm the one that signs everybody's check. Now, if it doesn't work, then you have to convince me it doesn't work, and then I might make another decision. But I don't think it's anything to feel that because you're the head coach and you feel that there's a relationship issue with the player, I'm paying both of you guys. I want you to work it out until I'm convinced it can be worked out.
Hey, we're with Willie Lanier, Hall of Fame linebacker with the Kansas City Chiefs from 1977. Had an unbelievable career. And, I would have given anything to have a year with Coach Stram. You know, and of course, that was your rookie year, wasn't it, Willie, the Super Bowl?
Well, it's sort of interesting. They went to the first one prior to my coming to Kansas City.
Okay.
So I came after the first Super Bowl, but that draft class, but it was my third year, the one we won.
Okay.
Was,
there we go.
Third year.
And you played in the longest game in NFL history. That would be something on Christmas Day.
I was just talking to a fellow in this office about that about 10 minutes ago, because we were talking about games. We're talking about Thanksgiving and weekends, and the thing I was saying to him was that because you had this background playing sport, you played on weekends, you played on holidays. I talked about Thanksgiving, and the Chiefs played Detroit a couple of times in Detroit and then Denver and Kansas City, and I just mentioned we played the longest game ever played on Christmas Day,
mm-hmm.
and it went 86 minutes and 40 seconds into the sixth quarter, and the league did not have another Christmas Day game for about 20-some-odd years because it delayed dinner for people all across the country.
Wow.
So then they came back about 3 or 4 years ago, and I think they have another Christmas Day game this year, but it's in the evening. It will be an evening game. So it was a great game, an enjoyable one. Unfortunately, we lost the game, but it was a great game.
You were tagged as the first black middle linebacker in pro football history. Wow.
And the reality is that it was not that long ago. So I think that's
what kind of amazes me, yeah.
Because it's not as if though I'm sitting here 90 years of age. So, so that being said, I took a lot of pride in being able to have the opportunity, which I could not control, but then not only having the chance to have that, if it were title that's added to my resume, but be able to play the game with a high enough excellence to end up in the Hall of Fame. So then Mike Singletary, which is one of your guys,
mm-hmm.
ends up being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I sat there with a lot of pride that day because Mike could reference having watched my skills
mm-hmm.
as part of his developmental plan that gave him comfort of toward a direction of what he could do. So then to sit in Canton, Ohio, and to see Mike being inducted, I'm, quote, the first, and having the skill to perform and be there, gives a lot of great comfort. So when I see if it is a Singletary, when I see a Ray Lewis, when I see a lot of the guys who are now in the position to play the position and to realize that I tend to set the table is what I would call it, it's a lot of joy that I get from that.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine you being a pioneer and still being so young.
Well, that's my point. And I think the thing that has happened is that the amount of substantive change that occurs in the league is beyond comprehension. When I stopped playing in 1977, the same way Mike Singletary is a head coach now in the league, a number of coaches are African-American, and you think about even 10 years ago and you start counting how many were actually in it then, and the numbers on it were near what they are today. But to realize that, I think in 70-70 when I stopped playing, in the entire National Football League, there were only 8 or 9 African-American coaches.
Wow. Willie, it's been a blast. I want to thank you for coming on at short notice, and I want to wish you, your family, the most wonderful Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And sure been glad chatting with you. Hey, coming up next, we've got Leroy Kelly. Stay tuned.